20th episode of the Reddix Copycast. I'm Fiona Campbell-Howes, Reddix's MD and lead copywriter, and I'm delighted to welcome back, I think for the third time.
I don't know, I've lost count.
Copyright. I think I called you copywriting supremo last time. So.
Well, where are you going to go from there?
I'm going to overlord. Copywriting overlord and MD of copywriting agency Lungfish and an associate writer here at Reddix, David Maguire.
Hello, it's lovely to be here. I have intense office envy of your new offices.
Our new office is quite nice, I have to say. But we are still in a cardboard cave for this podcast. Well, it's quite a well-appointed cardboard cave. We've got
We're painting an oral picture for the listener.
Exactly.
Yes, in a bizarre cardboard yurt.
In a very well-appointed office.
Yes.
So, there we go.
Imagine that.
So, for this episode, we're looking at something that seems to be a very hot topic at the moment in B2B marketing, which is using emotion in your marketing campaigns and in your B2B copy. So this is the topic of the B2B marketing conference next month, which tragically, I mean, I'm not going to. Are you going to it?
No.
Because we're based in Cornwall. It's too far for us to go to get to it.
I'm conferenced out for this year.
You're conferenced out. But yes, they're going to be discussing the use of emotion in B2B. And it was also the subject of a huge survey last year that Google did with the CEB about how buyers buy in B2B and how they come to those decisions and how it's not, as we previously thought, all based around kind of logic and reason and rationale, and actually emotion plays quite a big part. In fact, probably even a bigger part than reason in making those decisions.
Turns out that B2B buyers are human beings.
They are.
Who'd have thought?
Yes, incredibly, yes. And the connection that they feel with the brand is apparently really important in the way they buy. So that being said, I think one of the first things I wanted to talk to you about was why is it different now? Because surely buyers have always been people, and they've always had emotions, and they've always presumably needed to feel connections with brands. So why is this becoming important now? Why are we needing to change the way that we do marketing now, do you think?
Well, I guess the first thing to ask is, well, is it really new?
Yeah.
You know, is it new or is it just trendy?
Good point.
You know,
yes.
Is it a thing? You know, it's a thing with B2B marketing. Things, you know, ideas get hot every so often. And is it just something where people go, oh, this is a new thing, we have to come back to it, and everybody suddenly focuses on something that maybe everybody sort of knew.
Yeah.
So I mean, it goes all the way back to the IBM slogan. You know, nobody got fired for buying IBM.
Exactly.
That's a classic.
Yes.
And not just a classic in B2B, but there aren't that many classics in marketing and advertising that come from B2B, and that is one. I've seen that in my whole career, referenced everywhere.
Yes.
But part of it, I think, now is maybe people are increasingly aware of it because of the whole shift in the way that people buy, where they're doing more research online. And so there's more pressure to get into the shortlisting phase. I think, the pre-kind of tender area, I think that's where maybe people's hunches and whether your face fits as a brand comes into play.
Yeah.
And then maybe the more cold, hard reason perhaps is more of a issue later.
Yeah, further down the funnel, I think that's probably the case. And I think, I mean, thinking about this, it kind of occurred to me that exactly the way that people buy is changing. And so they leave it a lot longer until they actually talk to somebody from the company. So what occurs to me is that in that case, your content needs to kind of take the place of a person. So it needs to talk in a kind of human and conversational way, because your buyer is no longer engaging with a person at your company. They're engaging with your content, and so your content has to be like a person,
has to talk to
them like a human being.
Has to build that relationship.
Yeah.
And that's always been what brands are all about.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, what is a brand if it's not something that is beyond rational? It's someone having some kind of, if not emotional, then intuitive connection to a company or a product. That's what brands are for.
Yeah. And I think that the brands that have cottoned onto this and can do that now are the ones that will stand out at this kind of initial research stage when you're kind of looking at different companies and you're looking at the content. that they've got. The one that really kind of speaks to you in a human and emotional way is the one that you're going to keep on the pile and will probably make it through to the shortlist, whereas the one that's just going to have dry, boring content, you're probably just going to, even if it might have been the best solution for your business, you're probably going to leave to one side.
There's a really interesting point that Rory Southern made at the Professional Copywriters Network conference. Yeah. See, I told you I was conferenced out for the year. And essentially, it was to do with, you know, the kind of the thinking fast and slow, where you've got the system one, which is just kind of gut feel, and the system two, where you really stop and think about things, but it's quite hard to do. Yeah. And really, it's, you know, it's the system one really makes the decisions, and the system two spent justifies them. You know, and it's kind of, you know, the if you like, the heart, I don't know who said this, but, you know, the heart is really the Oval Office, and the head is the press office.
No, that's a really good analogy. Yeah. So, I mean, if we're talking about using more emotion in our copy, what kind of emotions are we talking about? Because I was thinking that, you know, and going back to what you said about no one got fired for buying IBM, there was always one emotion we did used to play on the whole way through, and that was fear. And you know, there's this acronym FUD, fear, uncertainty, and doubt, and this is what you were meant to instill in the mind of your buyer. You know, what will happen if we don't buy this company's technology? And just making people fear the consequences of not choosing. But, you know, kind of everybody does that, and you start thinking, well, is that a really... is that a helpful way to approach people, or are there other kind of emotions that are more productive and more helpful to talk to?
Yeah, I think one of the interesting things that I've seen about this was a friend, Martin Lloyd, who is involved in marketing communications at Greenpeace. And Martin's an old friend, and we were talking about emotions and the role that, not just that emotion has in driving response, because emotion is proven to drive response in all sorts of different ways. But what they've done is they've actually gone in so far as to do a study into which kinds of emotions are more effective for driving a response and different kinds of response. And something where, I mean, imagine if, you know, if you're Greenpeace with all of the content that they've got and all of the stories they can tell, they're kind of like the BFG, where they can kind of, oh yes, let's mix in surprise with a pinch of doubt and a bit and a slight bit of fear and some anger, and we'll see how that one works. I'm gonna have two pinches of this and one pinch of that. You know, they have the resources just to make conjure whatever emotions they want. And the thing that they found that, you know, people obviously fear, you know, anger gave people a very strong response, but it was quite a negative response. People would get very intensely angry and not actually do very much constructive. And the thing that they found really lit people up and inspired them to get involved and do stuff was joy, which I believe they characterized as happiness kind of multiplied by surprise. And I think that's kind of an interesting thing where surprise can act as an intensifier for other emotions. And, you know, the way that we put things together in marketing and in copy, you make people feel... make people feel happy or scared or angry or whatever. And then if you do it in a sudden, surprising and unusual way, that makes the whole experience more intense for them.
Well, that's really interesting. And I think, you know, happiness is not something that traditionally we'd ever kind of look to invoke in our audience. But I think now we're moving towards very much looking at the person we're talking to as an individual. And I'm seeing quite a lot of marketers start to do, I mean, like, I think like you mentioned there with Greenpeace, the actual psychographic profiling of who are we actually talking to, what kind of person do we want to get the attention of, and what kind of emotional response are they going to enjoy the most. So, you know, some people are very conservative, some buyers are very conservative, and you want to kind of invoke a sense of safety and reassurance in them. But some, you know, if you're talking to entrepreneurs or people really kind of ambitious, then you want to kind of talk to enthusiasm and excitement and maybe a sense of a bit of danger and a bit of risk, and that's the kind of... emotional response that we want to kind of trigger in those. So I think psychographic profiling is something that's coming very much more to the... I mean, in the old days, nobody ever looked at who the audience were. Really. You know, looked at the job title. Right, this is for CIOs. And, you know, all CIOs are the same. And therefore, we can... Yeah, you write the same content and they'll all relate to it in the same way. But now it's really like, well, you know, is this a conservative CIO or is this a CIO that wants to be really innovative and, you know, wants to get noticed and wants to kind of progress up a... even maybe to CIO, CEO position. So it's looking at those kind of personal triggers and, you know, personal aspirations as well as, you know, what they might want to do in their job for the business that's changing, I think.
Absolutely. I mean, the other day I was at an event around database as a service, and there were a bunch of CIOs in a room basically talking about the same thing, and do you use the public cloud or the private cloud and this kind of thing. And the number of attitudes to what's the best solution, just among the people in the room and their personality types. And again, their attitude to risk was a huge thing. You know, it's people, oh, I want to keep all my options open. Yeah. And people, no, I want to lock it down and not think about it.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, different things will appeal to different people. The interesting thing is, how much can you vary your message if it's something about who you are as a brand? It's very hard for a brand to appear groundbreaking and innovative, and also to appear reliable and proven.
Yes, yeah, and I think this is something that we've talked about before, actually, on one of these podcasts, is that's almost the difference between your voice and your tone.
Mm.
So, you know, you may have the same kind of brand image and who you are, and that's your voice, but you would use different tones depending on what kind of audience or who you're talking to. I was going to come on to say, is like, how, I mean, if we're moving towards triggering more emotional responses, how do we actually get that into the copy that we're writing? And, you know, one of the things that I try to do now is when I'm writing something like an ebook or a slideshow or something like that, is to actually frame the kind of emotional or psychographic profile of the person I'm talking to. So this ebook is for innovators who want to develop something really new and groundbreaking and impress their boss and, you know, do something great for the world as well. And, you know, once you've profiled that person, this ebook is for you. Then you can stop reading if you're not that kind of person. And if you are that kind of person, you're like, yeah, this is for me, you know, this is going to be really good. I'm going to read something great here, hopefully. So I think that's one way to start, you know, bringing that into the copy without departing from what the brand actually is all about.
Mm.
So, you know, you keep your kind of brand voice, but then you start being very specific about what kind of person you're talking to.
Mm.
I don't know if, I mean, do you have... Yeah, other tips and other ways that you bring more emotion or kind of stimulate more of an emotional response from your copy?
Some of it depends on the subject, but I think that, you know, it's whether you are going for a particular emotional response or whether it's just something where you're looking to invoke kind of a vague kind of nexus of emotions around a brand, you know, where, you know, someone just kind of, you just want them to appear trustworthy and large and, you know, or whatever, or, you know, and it's, and there are things like that are, a lot of it's how you say things rather than what you say a lot of the time, I think, you know, in that kind of positioning sort of sense.
Yeah.
So for that kind of thing, I mean, if you come back to, you know, the classic ones, it's not specifically a B2B ad, but, you know, but if you come back to the old Apple and Mac stuff, you know, the Apple versus Mac adverts, I mean, they're just classics. But because, you know, it's not a, you know, although that they're saying all of these rational things, the thing you take away is, no, I want to be the cool guy.
Yeah.
I want to be him, and I don't want to be him.
Yeah.
And, you know, and yeah, they're giving you all the stuff for your brain to rationalise that, going, yes, I'm going to spend thousands of pounds on a computer instead of hundreds of pounds on a computer because, ooh, viruses, or because, ooh, I can plug a camera into it and it will just work.
Yeah.
But actually, you know, those are the justifications.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, actually, again, it's a system one, system two thing.
People will think I'm cool.
You really, the emotion is, I want to be him
because
I'm cool, or I want to be cool.
Oh, yeah.
And then, oh, look, and he's given me lots of reasons I can justify that to myself.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's, so it's a lot of it's sometimes about how you say it rather than what you say.
Yeah.
But then equally, I think it's got to be real. It's got to be some, you know, if you're looking for a specific emotional response to marketing, it's got to be something that people really care about. Mm. And you play on an emotion that they can genuinely be expected to feel. Mm. You know, depending on who they are and what their profile is, you're going to have a hard time making somebody feel joyful about their servers. You just are.
And I think, you know, going back to something you said just now about using surprise, I think one of the ways that I see B2B copywriting changing as we kind of move into this more kind of emotional zone is that people are using much more surprising words and surprising metaphors to kind of get attention and kind of invoke that surprise that you're talking about. So in the old days, we'd be writing, you know, discover new solutions to optimize your business efficiency. And then these days you might be seeing people go, kick inefficiency in the ass. Flush inefficiency down the toilet. So it's like using creativity and metaphor to kind of stimulate that kind of response of, oh, and you know, a bit surprising, and you know, this brand's a little bit different and quite like this, and I'm going to find out what they've got to say.
Yeah, I think, you know, it's got to be the right context. People could find that quite annoying in some context, but I think, and you asked earlier, you know, why this is becoming such an issue in B2B, and I think, you know, to an extent, the marketers and the buyers and everyone just kind of, somebody at some point put their hand up and went, are we allowed to have fun?
Yeah, that's it, yeah.
Yeah, okay, hang on. So we can have more fun in the way we do the marketing. I imagine it came from that side originally. You know, and then the buyers went, yeah, no, this is more fun for me to read as well. You know, everyone's having a much better time this way.
It does still feel, you know, a bit strange, and you know, you are a bit scared to kind of have fun with a copy. And I know it's something that it's been very difficult for me to kind of come around to the idea that you can be playful and you can make jokes, and I think humour is another really big part of the whole emotional thing as well. So we never used to use humour ever, and now, you know, it's creeping in, and it's just really nice, and it's probably also to do with the fact that, you know, technology buyers are used to now using lots of consumer technology, and so they're used to dealing with consumer technology brands, and they're thinking, well, why can't the you know, enterprise technology brands be the same? You know, I'm using same sort of technology to do the same sort of things. You know, it doesn't have to be dull and boring. You know, we can have fun with this software as well. So
I think it's, you know, again, it's going back to the voice and tone thing and it being appropriate at the time. There are times, maybe later on in the funnel, but there is an argument that emotion works all the way through the funnel. But you know, maybe later in the funnel, that's kind of inappropriate because you kind of want a contest, or you know, you need stuff that you can use to build a business case for the CEO or whatever, and he's kind of not going to go, you know, yeah, we need to buy this one because they've got like ninja monkeys.
Yeah, that's right. So yeah, the tone has got to be appropriate for the stage in the funnel that's at. And then you've got to recognise that this is still a kind of serious business decision, and you're probably you might be spending millions of pounds on something, and so it's, you can't be massively frivolous all the way through, but there's no harm in lightening things up and appealing to kind of emotional responses all the way through as well.
I think in the copywriting it's partly about, you know, involving people, kind of putting yourself either, you know, as a writer or just in the copy, just putting yourself in their shoes and being real about what they really feel and what they really feel. I think you kind of get into it where, you know, again, whether it's a new thing, I mean, for a long time, we've talked about pain points.
Yes.
And pain is a very, you know, that's a very kind of emotional kind of word.
Yeah.
You know, and be real about, well, is this pain point, is this just a thing that is an inconvenience that you're going to take away from them? Or is it a thing that actually this will make, you know, unlock your wildest dreams? Or is it something where a brand's just going to go and do something else entirely, and then as a result of that, you feel good about that brand? Something that's, you know, a brand that does B2B, but not specifically B2B activity, is, you know, all the stuff around, for example, all the stuff that Verizon does, you know, where they do these, you know, really kind of aspirational, sometimes quite campaigning kind of beautiful sort of video campaigns, you know, where maybe sometimes you might feel, you know, they're laying on a bit thick. But I saw one, you know, about how, as you know, girls grow up and go through school, you know, about the kind of the drop-off rate in science, because all the time we tell boys that they're clever and ingenious, and we tell girls that they're pretty. You know, don't play with that thing. You'll get it on your dress. And they did this beautiful thing around that, and I just kind of think, I don't really know very much about them as a brand, but I'm feeling quite positive towards them now. Maybe if they want to tell me about some B2B stuff, I'll probably listen.
Yeah, tell you about your mobile network now, yes, you might pay attention. I was going to ask you, what examples have we seen out there that of B2B content that really kind of resonates on a kind of emotional level? And I was, you were talking about videos there for Verizon. Video seems to be a really good format for getting that kind of emotional connection. And the one I always think of is, it's just one in a series, I think, that Intel have done. They sponsor a kind of young innovators program.
Yes.
They have this teenager, I think he was 15 years old at the time, who had discovered a new treatment for pancreatic cancer.
Yes.
Jack Andraka. And so they had a video of him receiving this award, because they give an award every year. And it's just so uplifting, because you see all the work that he's put into it, and the fact that he's so young, and you don't really expect him to have been able to make this breakthrough so young, and he's going up to receive his award and he's so happy and everyone's so happy for him. Just makes you feel really warm towards Intel without even thinking about, Intel make processors, don't they? So this has really no relation to the processor that's inside your PC, but it does kind of make you feel warm towards Intel, and therefore more likely to kind of bond with them, I guess, when you're trying to choose a new piece of technology.
I think that, that's the thing, if the technology or the thing that you're selling doesn't have that kind of emotional quality about it, you can either tap into the emotions that people have when that stuff goes wrong or it goes right, or you can find something else that they care about. If Intel can find a way to segue that emotion, and explain, well, the reason we do this is, you like all this stuff, and it makes us better at doing processes then so much the better. So you've got in the B2C world, you have the cars that are based on our Formula One technology that you like so much. Look, it informs our cars. All right, if you say so. But finding a way to link those things is gold if you can do it. I mean, we did worked on an ad once for a company that makes tiny electric motors, and it was just an example that these motors were being used in this brilliant system that helped children who couldn't walk, who'd had injuries, who couldn't walk, to relearn how to walk. And that was something where it was a technical application but had a real emotional resonance. And so, obviously we didn't, within the ad, we didn't try to take credit for the fact, we make children walk, but we help them on their journey. They're facing this thing, and we help them, and we do our small bit in that way.
And then you feel good about buying into a brand that is also doing these things, that's helping the world in this way. So I think that's a really good example. And I also think that's all we've got time for.
Oh, having so much fun.
I know. So, thank you very much, David.
Always
a pleasure to have you come in and chat to you. So that's all we've got time for this episode. But you can follow Radix on Twitter at RadixCom. And you'll find our website at radix-communications.com, where you can also sign up for our monthly e-newsletter for, it says here, the latest copywriting tips and insights.
Oh, that's really good.